We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And now, winner of three Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence.
In your face, Milwaukee!
Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Good morning. Hey, fantasy football players. It's Thursday, and that means we're giving away free advice. Kevin Payne, rotowire.com. He'll be here at 8:35. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. We'll take your emails. However you can get us the question, we'll take them. 8:35. You can tweet already at 105.7 FM The Fan. Use the hashtag AskKevin, and that will come up at 8:35. We do it every Thursday here on The Fan. We also talk to Michael Cohen every Thursday. Let's talk to him right now. Michael Cohen on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline with The Athletic. Michael underscore Cohen 13, covering, of course, the Green Bay Packers. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
We're good. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers. Bart and I were kind of talking about this off the air. The national media and some of their sites, they put, well, you know, Aaron Rodgers says that if he keeps on playing, he's worried that he might hurt his knee a little further and make the knee worse. But I mean, if you listen to his comments, I mean, he said that, well, it could also get better too. So I think those comments were kind of taken out of context a little bit about Aaron's knee.
I think every single injured player in the National Football League is worried that their specific injury could get worse. I mean, that's just how it goes in sports. If you play any sport, whether it's football, basketball, tennis, whatever, if you have an injury, there's always the possibility that it gets worse. So I thought that taking the comments the way that certain people did, I didn't really get it. I thought that was more maybe exaggeration than what was actually said. And, you know, I think it takes a natural fact of competition, the fact that anytime you're being athletic and moving around, an ailment can certainly worsen. I think it takes that fact and just kind of stretches it a little bit.
Have the Packers, I know there's, have they moved on from the roughing the passer situation? We're going to hear from Aaron Rodgers yet on the show. We're going to hear from Clay Matthews yet on the show, and Mike McCarthy too. It seems like it's something they want to move on from. Maybe we won't let them. But really, Michael, have they moved on from it? And also, what else can they do? I mean, Mike McCarthy's been very adamant that, hey, that's the way I'm going to coach. There's not much else I can tell these guys.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they've moved on. I mean, it continues to be a topic of conversation. I think it's going to be a topic of conversation for the foreseeable future, especially if there's another roughing the passer call or no call this weekend that is borderline in one direction or the other. And, you know, McCarthy sort of doubled down, you know, himself. The league already doubled down and said that they believe what Matthews and Kendricks did were fouls and that they're going to be part of the teaching tape of things that you shouldn't do. And McCarthy said, well, we're not going to change a single thing that we do when it comes to coaching because we believe we're coaching the right way and we believe we're telling our players to do the right things. So you kind of just see both sides digging in their heels a little bit. And I just don't expect much to change one way or the other. It's going to come down to every week, nobody really knows what's going to be roughing the passer and what's not going to be roughing the passer. And there's going to be penalties that are surprises and then there's going to be penalties that are, you know, or no calls that are surprises, and that's just kind of the way it's going to go. I think nobody's really going to know until they get out there and until a particular official either does or doesn't throw the flag.
Kevin King was out of that game in the second half, and Mike McCarthy said after the game that they did not adjust to King being out of the game. What was he getting at there?
That they don't have enough talent to adjust without King. The problem is Kevin King is one of only two guys, I think, that they feel really comfortable with on the perimeter right now. You know, I think that Tremont Williams is certainly a guy that they have confidence in, and then King being the other. I know that they really like both of their rookies, and I know that both of the rookies have played well thus far, but I think they like them in those slot roles right now. And if they had their druthers, I don't think they would play either one of them on the perimeter at this point in time. They want to ease them into their roles and sort of develop them a little bit more. And so, you know, I just don't think they have the right personnel to replace a guy like Kevin King, or the same thing if Tremont went out. They just don't have another perimeter corner right now that I think they can count on. And so the longer King is out, and it certainly sounds like he's going to miss this week, then, you know, the more that Devon House has to step up and has to be a contributor, and he's got to play a little bit better than he did last week in order for the Packers to not, you know, really start to tail off at the corner position. And you saw late in the game on Sunday that they actually pulled House for a little while, although he did pop up on the injury report, so I'm not sure exactly whether it was the benching or whether it was the injury, but he did end up coming off the field, and then they replaced him with one of the young guys on the perimeter. And, you know, that's certainly a route the Packers could choose to go, but I just don't know if they want to do that yet with their young guys, and so they need another guy on the perimeter, whoever it may be.
And I don't know who that will be. Michael Cohen joining us here with The Athletic, and one of your articles this week was just kind of recapping the game a little bit. And the play that Stephon Diggs had his 75-yard touchdown, it looked like Devon House was to blame. But when you look back at the tape, maybe Kentrell Bryce was in a situation where he could have provided some more help over the top. And then later on the Thielen touchdown, I don't know why Bryce didn't go for the ball. He kind of had a rougher game than maybe we thought at first blush. How are the Packers, again, with Kevin King out, they've got to get somebody to step up. Who could that even be? Do they have enough options?
I mean, they have enough bodies. I'm just not sure if they have enough options. Let me put it this way. They don't have anybody that can match what Kevin King does. So whoever they put out there, it's going to be a step back, at least initially. You know, maybe these rookies develop into those types of players. I certainly think there's that potential. But, you know, this early in his career last year, Kevin King was not the player that he is right now either. So it's just a natural development for these young guys. And they don't have a ton of options. I mean, they've only got, if King doesn't play, and Mike McCarthy essentially already ruled him out, they've only got four corners to choose from. You know, they've got Devon House, they've got Tremont Williams, and they've got the two rookies. And that's it. So one of the things that they could do is they could use a little bit more of Jermaine Whitehead as a slot guy, which is what they did in week one a ton. And then that would free them up to use one of the rookies on the perimeter, and they could avoid playing Devon House because he's also on the injury report this week. That would be one way to go. Another way would just be to use Devon House, but, you know, hope that the back end of it with Bryce and Clinton Dix plays a little bit better and that they don't make the type of mistakes that Bryce made last week. You know, that deep touchdown, I was wrong about it too. I originally thought it was completely on Devon House, and it's not. It's more on Kentrell Bryce than it is on House. Bryce makes a total misread on that play and basically vacates his responsibility down the middle of the field. That is, you know, I don't want to say 100% because it's not, but that's 75% or more on Kentrell Bryce. Doesn't mean Devon House couldn't have done more to help near the line of scrimmage, but the end result is Bryce's territory. So, you know, he certainly took a step back from week one, and ultimately I think that's the type of inconsistency that you're going to get from Bryce. You know, he's not, in my opinion, a guy that is going to be totally reliable week after week after week. He's going to have his ups and downs, and the Packers are just hoping that he's more consistent. More consistent than not.
Didn't practice yesterday. They had a walkthrough. What was the whole theory behind McCarthy not having his normal Wednesday practice?
The fact that they were coming off a night game 2 weeks ago and then an overtime game in really hot weather, I think he just decided that it would be more beneficial for the players to have a little bit extra rest and sort of regain their stamina a little bit, and then they'll be on the field today and they'll practice again briefly on Saturday. So just wanting to make sure that after two really difficult games for different reasons, one being a night game, which always drains, you know, a little bit more of the energy going into the next week, and then one being an overtime game also played in fairly high temperatures by Green Bay standards, McCarthy just wanted to make sure his guys were as well-rested as possible for Sunday.
Aaron Jones will be back this week. It seems like he will be the third man on the totem pole at the running back position. I would like to see Aaron Jones get, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15 touches. I'd like to see him not eased in right away. I'd like to see him get some more time right away. But Jamal Williams and Ty Montgomery have been so good in pass protection. Is that a part of Aaron Jones' game that he's ready to excel at? I know he's probably the quickest and probably the best of the running backs from a running back standpoint, but can he match up with what those guys have been providing the first couple of weeks?
Nobody knows. And, you know, the fact that Jones was hurt all throughout training camp means that, you know, we didn't really get many chances at all to look at him from a pass protection standpoint. You know, I do remember the one day that they did the blitz pickup drill, and, you know, it was kind of more of the same for all the running backs. Jamal Williams looked really good. Ty Montgomery was hit or miss. And so, you know, obviously since then, Montgomery's made significant strides because he's been excellent in pass protection, much, much, much better than he was last season. So I think that Jamal Williams will continue to be the starting tailback, you know, at least for this week. But once Aaron Jones starts to rip off the types of, you know, 13, 15, 17-yard gains that he's shown he's capable of, Mike McCarthy's going to have to play him more. And I don't know if that starts as quickly as this week, but certainly moving forward, I expect Jones to ascend into that number one role just because he is so much more dynamic than the other two guys. And once he starts gaining, you know, yards by the chunk, McCarthy has no other option but to play him.
The Packers, one of the reasons, Michael, I was excited to see the Packers offense really get going was all the different weapons and different packages I thought that they could run out of. And for the most part, I mean, they've got the three good receivers, Allison, Devontae, and Cobb. So a lot of times they're lining up with those three. I did expect maybe some more usages of multiple tight ends. I thought maybe we'd see more Mercedes Lewis. He has not played as much as I thought he might. Is there a reason for that, or are they working him in, or why are we seeing less Mercedes Lewis than we might have thought?
That's one that I don't really know the answer to. I think certainly he's a much, much better blocker than Lance Kendricks. Kendricks had a particularly difficult game against the Vikings, matching up against, you know, some of their guys along the defensive line, and linebackers had issues blocking there. I don't know. I really don't know. I thought Lewis would play more. I still think there's a reason that he deserves to play more, and so we'll have to see what happens this week, but I have been surprised by that as well.
Would you take the Packers on Sunday?
Yes, definitely. I think they'll beat the Redskins rather comfortably. I would take them by, you know, two touchdowns or more.
Yeah, Washington lost at home last week. Scored 8 points.
They had a nice win over Arizona, and then we find out Arizona's
sucks.
Bad.
Yeah,
and yeah, I thought Washington would get that one against
Washington
the Colts.
They've got the number one ranked defense in the league, so on that side of the ball, they're really good. It's just I don't think they're going to be able to score enough points, and yeah, I think the Packers will win fairly comfortably.
Michael, appreciate it. Have a good trip out there, and we'll talk on Monday.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, see you guys.
Michael Cohen joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935. Typically, Michael Cohen joins us Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays at 8:20. He's out to Washington for the weekend. We will check back with him on Monday. Tomorrow at 8:20, we'll catch back up with Aaron Nagler from Cheesehead TV. So 8:20 still on a Friday. Packers, we'll talk to Aaron Nagler at that time tomorrow.
Packers an early 3-point favorite in that game against Washington on Sunday for the noon kickoff. Over and under 45.5. Kind of like the under in that game.
So you think they're looking at Rodgers' knee still? Because they, I mean, you look at this Washington team, you look at the Green Bay team, Packers should be 5-6, 7-point favorite here.
Well, I mean, on the road it's tough. Because I think Vegas looks at the Packers and sees, they struggled to beat Chicago, came from behind, tied with Minnesota, and that maybe Washington could be a little bit better than they were. So it's tough to be a heavy favorite on the road unless you're, I mean, like look at last week. The Chargers, I think it was the Chargers were 7, 7.5-point favorite on the road against bad Buffalo. So unless we think Buffalo is in the same category as Washington, I'm not surprised at the line.
Is the Vikings-Bills spread at 3 touchdowns yet? Did that one get up to 3 touchdowns yet or not? No, I'm looking here. It's 16.5.
Yeah.
16.5.
Yeah.
Vikings host the Bills, and then the Bills will come to Green Bay. So, you know, Bills are bad. If the Bills beat either one of those teams,
oh God,
that team's in trouble.
You don't see a 16.5-point dog win very much.
No.
I mean, it's tough for a double-digit dog to win. We've seen it happen a few times, but 16
Super
and a half.
Bowl 32.
Yeah, 16 and a half. Yes. Yeah. Packers were like 13-point favorites against Denver. But in the Super Bowl, the line was getting inflated all those years because the NFC kept on trouncing teams. And that's why the line was. I mean, even the year before, the Packers were heavy favorites against New England and didn't cover that line.
Follow Michael Cohen again. At Michael_Cohen13, he works now with The Athletic. The Athletic online, you can buy a subscription and check out their coverage. They got Brewers, Packers, Badgers, and the like. It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins. Mentioned that we would hear from some of these guys, Clay Matthews, Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy. They don't like what happened with that roughing the passer, so they've got to adapt. Doesn't seem like they want to. We'll hear from these guys. We'll go inside the locker room next on the
That was quite obvious. I mean, it's, obviously the NFL is going to double down and side with the refs. I don't think we expected anything differently when we submitted the play. I think we all know it was an incorrect call. I think everybody, including Vikings fans, see it the same way.
You know, I think that this addition to the rule, you know, we had the NFL referees in here with us, and they talked about the full body weight, but there wasn't a whole lot about the, what do they say, something about a scoop and something, which if you put your hand down, I don't really feel like that's maybe it's a one-hand scoop, I guess.
There needs to be some clarity on it, but just to say that this is a black and white right and wrong, I don't agree with that, so it's irrelevant. I got to coach the team to play in the game, so we know the way we're going to approach the game. We know how we're going to rush the passer. We know how we're going to hit the quarterback, and the way we're teaching it is the way we're going to do it.
Clay Matthews, Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio. It's Chuck and Winkler. Good morning. 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and we are on the radio.com app. When you find our station on there, it's very easy to find. 105.7 FM, The Fan. Make sure you click the little heart on there. Favorite the station on the app, and then that will be the first station that pops up and plays. And then when we have breaking news and other cool things to share with you, you'll be the first to know. So favorite the station on the radio.com app. Packers talking yesterday at their lockers, not having a practice. You know, it's been a couple of tough weeks already here in the season. So no practice, a little bit of a walkthrough. They'll get back out there today, but they still were available to the media. And it was a lot of discussion still on the roughing the passer call, which they're at the point here with the NFL saying this is bad. This is not how you tackle. The Packers are almost forced to adjust. They don't know what to adjust to because it seems like the next step to not do what Clay did is to never touch the quarterback. So the Packers and the rest of the league here in a really tough situation.
Yeah, and if you're Clay, you're going to be really tentative because the last 2 weeks you got your hand in the cookie jar, right or wrong. And, you can't go out there playing tentative. And what McCarthy said there is just, you just can't go out there and all about protecting the quarterback, but don't give the defensive player, don't make him play with one arm tied behind his back and give him a level play, a field of play just like everybody else.
It's everything we've been taught since we were kids playing on defense. Nothing vicious about it. I know the rules. And you guys have to correct me, but it talks about being vicious and doing extra stuff. I mean, there was nothing extra or physically intimidating about that hit. So, I think the lines are getting blurred between protecting quarterbacks and, putting defensive players in a compromising position.
So if you've paid any attention to the national conversation regarding this rule, regarding this hit, A lot of people are telling you guys as Packer fans to shut up. They're telling you have no right to complain because the whole reason this rule is being more strictly called is because it was our quarterback that got injured on a similar play last season. Now, I would argue that the Anthony Barr hit that injured Rodgers was more egregious than the Clay Matthews hit on Kirk Cousins. I would like the NFL to be a place where all of those hits, I'd rather all of those hits not be penalties then try to dissect which of them are. And there was also a play in that game that was called against the Vikings on Kendricks where he got 15 yards for hitting Rodgers, which probably shouldn't have been a penalty, and Rodgers would agree.
There's a goal to limit these hits, but they're pretty obvious when you see them. You know, a guy picking somebody up and full weight on them. What do you say to Clay? You know, his head is out of it. His hand is on the ground. That's not roughing the passer. Same thing with Kendricks. You know, what do you say to him on that? I didn't get up off the ground thinking, where's the penalty? You know, I saw a late flag and couldn't believe there was a penalty on the play.
Yeah, you know, these other fans were complaining about Packer fans on that hit until it happens to their quarterback, and we'll see where they stand.
Or their defensive player.
Or the defensive player. Yeah,
I mean, the Packers. Yeah, the Packers are in a situation where they had their quarterback out. We lost our quarterback to maybe a late hit, mm-hmm. which, again, if you're a Viking fan, you see it one way. If you're a Packer fan, you see it another way. If you're impartial, I think it's split down the middle. Was that a late hit or not last year, Anthony Barr? But this year, I mean, I really haven't found anybody that thinks the Clay Matthews hit should have been a penalty. My thoughts on it were, okay, but it is. So now you got to figure out how to adjust until the NFL comes to their senses, which it doesn't look like they're ever going to do. So it is really a tough situation because if you're taking, I said this the other day, if you're taking violence out of the game, that is good. When you take contact out of the game, then that's not football.
Yeah, and this is what everybody's been talking about this week, about when people say, well, they get disenchanted with football. And then when you see the Clay Matthews play, that's what bothers people. And, you know, first it was the catch, and there was also, like, questions about the pass interference, whether it's, hey, is that pass interference? What is pass interference? Is that not pass interference? Is that holding? Is that not holding? When you're playing a physical game, I think there's always a fine line, but some of this is coming out more to fruition in the last couple of years. And now it's going to be, well, what is roughing the kicker or what is roughing the passer? What is it? How are you supposed to treat the quarterback? Is that a late hit? Is it not a late hit? I think Clay's hit wasn't malicious, as you're talking about there. Wasn't intent to hurt anybody, but intended to hit the quarterback hard, but not hurt him.
Yeah. It's just an interesting situation that the Packers now have to deal with, and it's going to be tough for them. We'll hear more from Rodgers and Clay and McCarthy throughout the morning. Your big play of the game from last night, we will get back into the Brewers. If you have the big play of the game, we'll want to hear that from you. Talk more about Gio Gonzalez coming up momentarily. Hey, do want to tell you about my friends at Hyundai West Alice while I have your attention, and they want your attention. These guys, when it comes to buying and selling cars, it's very important for them that you find a good deal, and it's very important for them that you find a car that you like, but it's most important for them that you have a good experience when doing that, a good experience when buying a vehicle, and that's what they're out to give. They've won tons of awards for customer service because it's not just you buy a car, you leave, you never see them again. You start to build a relationship there, and that's good because it's good to have friends in the car business. If you need another car, if your friend needs a car, if you just need an oil change, if you just have a question about what that button does in the back, whatever, they're there to help you. They do want to continue that relationship with you, and that's good. It's always good to have friends in the car business. Now, you've got an instant connection with them because you're listening to The Fan right now. They love sports over there. When you tell them that Bart sent you, extra savings and deals and trade-in value on top of what you're already getting from Hyundai. It's a great car. I got my Santa Fe Sport back in May. I love it. And the extra deals that you'll get make it even all more worth the while. Highway 100 and Arthur. Check them out. Highway 100 and Arthur. It is Hyundai West Alice. Tell them Bart sent you.
Corbin Burns. Brewers have two on. Aguilar drives one right field. This is way back. And there she goes. Three-run blast. Jesus Aguilar. He's having a night. Four RBIs already. And his 33rd home run of the season. And the Brewers have a 4-0 lead in the third.
Yeah, I mean, they give up three more runs. That's obviously not acceptable, and the whole start was just not good. It was pretty dog. You have to be better. Wasn't good.
Oh, Matt Harvey. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman.
Well, it turned out to be the Brewers got the right guy at the trading deadline. They were after Matt Harvey, and they couldn't pull off that trade. All right, they couldn't pull off. Since they didn't get what Cincinnati wanted, the Reds kept him. Okay, they went out and got Gio Gonzalez, and they've won all three starts that Gio's pitched for them for so far. So, and Harvey, who knows how he would have done here, but Gonzalez outpitched Harvey last night.
Well, for one night at least, everything that the Brewers did or didn't do worked out. Gio Gonzalez, six strong, just two hits, five Ks. In his three starts in September in a Brewers uniform, he's got a 1.65 ERA. And the Brewers, as Chuck just mentioned, have won all three games. He was credited for two of those wins, has struck out 18. Matt Harvey, not a good night, and Brewers got to him. And Cole Hamels got drilled in Arizona to a team that put out like a spring training lineup last night and still got a big win over the Cubs. So for one day at least, all the talk about starting pitching and get this guy, go get this guy. Okay, I guess we'll take this guy. It all worked out for Mr. David Stearns last night.
Yeah, and I saw him after the game, and Stearns, big smile on his face after the game.
Oh, I'm sure.
He's walking down off the ballpark last night. But I mean, Gio's been talking about how, you know, he's been accepted by the teammates. He loves the Brewer clubhouse. And a lot of guys, I think that's the thing too, is when you get traded to the Brewers, it seems like those guys, I mean, it's always already a pretty good clubhouse setting, but those guys are very good when players have come in here, all the way back to when CeCe first came in 2008 and how welcomed he was into that Brewer clubhouse. And, you know, Gonzalez, he's talked about how the teammates, he loves it here.
Gio Gonzalez.
I'm just happy to say play our game because, you know, officially being a Brewer, so speaking on that level, it's great. It's great to see how we're playing and how, you know, exciting it is that everyone's just smiling and laughing. It's always good to hear music at the end, so something's happening. It's working.
So Gio Gonzalez starts his career with Oakland briefly. Most of it, you know him as a National, and really he says he grew up there. And the weekend he's traded, the Brewers are actually in Washington, so has to just switch dugouts. He gets traded, yet he's still at what feels like his home ballpark. And now he's got to get acclimated into an entirely new group of guys. I just, when I go down there and interview the players, I'm always so fascinated about that component, the trade component to Major League Baseball, how you can be with one place, grow up in one place, and get dealt and just be told you're going to work here now with us, with anybody, with you in your real life. I mean, if you want to go work in another city or find another job, it can be a pretty long and strenuous process, or you get at least a little bit of a warning. With players, I mean, they wake up a National, and by the end of the day, they're a Milwaukee Brewer. And I always just think that is it's got to be so jarring, especially if you have kids in school or if your girlfriend or wife has a role in the community and you just got to pack up and move. I just that part always fascinates me, the trade aspect, and then how quickly you get acclimated to a new group of guys.
There's some guys who get transferred within the company, and you hear, well, I'm getting transferred to Buffalo or whatever. Or, you know, you hear that people in the ministry, they take jobs, they get their calling. They go, oh, I've been called to a church in Prairie du Chien or whatever. You know, I've heard that before. So, but in baseball, you could be thinking, okay, I got a house here.
That's
got
to be a lie.
Huh?
My calling is to go to Prairie du Chien.
That's what they call it, Bart. No, that's the
expression. No, I am
aware, expression.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
the expression
yeah.
of it, you know.
I just,
my calling.
I think that they're lying to themselves.
Calling. You think of calling is like somebody calling you on the phone. Oh, I got a calling to go there. It's
Reggie White's only came to Green Bay because of God.
That was his calling.
Yeah.
But you buy a house. Okay, you buy a house. I mean, I don't know why you would ever want to buy a house if you're a professional athlete, because you don't, and especially today, maybe in the 70s or 80s, a little different, but in today, because you don't know how long you're going to be there, and if you want to live that, you know, year round in that community. Now, some guys have, but Giannis Antetokounmpo. Okay, who knows where he's going to be at the end of this contract?
Ooh, okay.
So he buys a house, boom. Who knows where he's going to be? You know, Gio Gonzalez, he doesn't know where he's going to be next year. He doesn't know where. He doesn't know. He just doesn't know. None of these guys, professional athletes, never know unless they have a guaranteed contract and there's a no trade clause where they're going to be. Ryan Braun, who knows where Ryan Braun is going to be?
No, Ryan Braun's here forever.
Well, I'm just saying, there could be some team out there says, okay, we'll take him off your hands if you pay $17 million of his contract. You just never know as an athlete how long you're going to stay.
Well, with Ryan Braun, then he would have to say, okay, fine.
Yeah.
He ain't leaving. He's going nowhere.
You're stuck with that contract. But I'm just saying, you know, any one of these guys are expendable sometimes, depending how – I mean, like Aaron Rodgers, okay, Aaron's a Packer, but after his contract or late in his contract, who knows where he's going to end up.
How about the case of Daniel Carlson? You want to talk about your life taking unexpected turns. Daniel Carlson, Vikings kicker, drafted by the Vikings, all right, fifth-round pick, thinks, hey, I'm a fifth-round pick. I'm going to be here for a little bit. Gets into a game, misses a field goal. He should be fine. The roughing the passer penalty that we've been talking about, had that not happened, okay, Daniel Carlson doesn't miss two field goals in overtime. Had that call not happened, this is a butterfly effect here. Had that not happened, Carlson's probably still got a job. Dan Bailey's probably still, who knows where. Now he's with the Vikings. See how many lives can twist and turn based on one call?
Yeah.
It's insanity.
And, you know, how about this, though? How do you think that ride back to on the plane ride back to Minneapolis was? Because his teammates, Carlson's teammates, worked so hard to get back in that game. Kirk Cousins is throwing touchdown passes all over the map in that fourth quarter. And, you know, they get the ball back, and he leads them down to the drive, and all of a sudden, boom, the field goal kicker can't get the job done. Same thing with Rafael Gaglianone for the Badgers. All right? Boom. His team worked so hard. Well, they didn't play all that good.
Yeah, no, they didn't work that hard.
But still, put him in field goal position at the end, and he misses. And he's got to just – the kicker, though, when you – because the kicker's already looked down upon as not really a guy, a part of the team, because he does his own thing at practice. So you miss a field goal, it's just like you almost got to make it. Because if you don't make it, you're the bad guy on the team.
Yeah.
You get all the crap.
Yeah, but if you make the field goal, you're the hero.
You are, but still, it's like, well, Aaron Rodgers led the drive to if the Packers win that game on the Mason Crosby field goal, the credit's going to go to Aaron Rodgers playing on one leg, leading that team to the victory.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins. So the Brewers, they have two wins in this series. I, of course, went to the game that they lost. Now, those tickets I got them on the SeatGeek app. And I don't just talk about the app to get you some savings, which you can get with the promo code BART, and I'll tell you in a second. But here's how this worked for me. Wanted to go to the game Tuesday. So I texted my brother. I said, you want to go to the game? He said, yeah. I said, I'm going to get us good seats. He goes, okay. I bought the seats. They were for his birthday. It was a belated birthday present. I've been taking him to a Brewer game for a present for the last 10 years. Pretty nice guy, huh? And I buy him a drink, and I buy him a food.
So that's a couple of hundy almost.
I spent about two hundy on this little guy, 26 years old. All right?
Well, does he return the favor?
He did buy me a drink, yeah.
No. I mean, when it's your birthday?
No. I'm the older brother, so.
You got to do the job.
Yeah. I do the job. So I got him tickets. So I found some that were five rows off of the Brewers dugout. And, you know, when you're sitting down in those seats, you think, oh, that guy's got to be – he's got to know somebody, or, oh, geez, how much did you spend? They were $43 a ticket. And so when I went to the map of Miller Park, SeatGeek shows you where the good deals are. So this seat that I bought, it was bright green, and they have their own rating scale, and it said 9.6 out of 10. Like, this is a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
A couple rows over, there was a seat, and some guy was trying to get $300 for it. And so SeatGeek has a big red dot, and it says 0.3 out of 10. This is a bad deal.
Yeah.
So they'll tell you on the app what's a good deal, what's not a good deal. You can shop with confidence because it's all fully guaranteed by SeatGeek, and they send it right to your phone. So I bought the tickets, 10 minutes. It was confirmed. They're on my phone. My brother's got the app. I sent him the ticket. We walked in, and we were good to go. Listeners of this program get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. And if you've got it, tell your girlfriend to get it. Tell your wife to get it. Tell your brother to get it. You get $20 off your first purchase, so even more savings. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code BART today. That's promo code BART, B-A-R-T, for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Life's an event. We have the tickets. SeatGeek just did a study. They've been around a while. So they did a study over the last 5 years. And based on these results, Chuck, I think we can officially give Kenosha County to Illinois.
I'm okay with that.
We'll have the results. We'll tell you what we're talking about next. But Kenosha County, it's been a good run. I know there's a lot of political ads out there. Ignore them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need your vote in Wisconsin. You're part of Illinois now, according to SeatGeek. We'll have that story next. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. This is a Packer state. Or is it? SeatGeek did a study based on the last 5 years of their sales. They took all 72 counties in this great state of ours, and they tried to figure out, based on sales, which team do these counties support? Well, guess what? Of the 72 counties, only 61 can fully say that they're Packer counties. 10 counties, western side of the state, you know.
Where the majority of the fans are not supporting our team?
Yeah, 10 counties in the western side of the state. More people support the Vikings in those counties, according to SeatGeek, than the Packers.
Okay. Which ones? Do you have those?
I do. I do have those. I have those. Where did that go? I've got, Buffalo County.
Okay.
Trempealeau County.
Yeah.
Pierce County. I mean, we are talking western part of the state.
How about Eau Claire County?
Eau Claire County seems to be for the Packers.
Chippewa?
Chippewa County is for the Packers. Yep. Still hanging on. Washburn County, Vikings. Sawyer County, Vikings. Douglas County, I believe Superior's there, Vikings. And then Kenosha County, actually more people in Kenosha County over the last 5 years have bought Bears tickets than Packers tickets. So if you want to just be a part of Illinois, just go. It's fine. We'll let you. Kenosha County can go to the Bears.
Yeah, well, I've said that for years, though, Bart. I said that, I just always suspect guys who live in Kenosha, we got a few working on this radio station, what their allegiance is. Because it's so close to Illinois, you get the Chicago TV stations on your cable system and all that. So I just think that, it's just a little skeptical. When I go to sports, when I go to stores in Kenosha or Racine, I just see a lot of Chicago memorabilia, paraphernalia, stuff like that, shirts.
Yeah, not even Chicago Bears stuff, but like City of Chicago.
Yeah.
Just like a skyline that says Sweet Home Chicago.
I don't want to see that.
$9.99 at a Citgo.
Don't want to see that in Wisconsin. And I see it too. Yeah, no, not good. Not good, yeah. So Kenosha is the most Chicago city in our state?
Yeah, now there's some counties in other states that go for the Packers. Iowa's got three counties. North Dakota's got some. Even Minnesota does have one county to the Packers, Chippewa County, which is probably an hour west of Minneapolis. The Upper Peninsula is basically all Packer counties. So I never understand why Kenosha County just doesn't become a part of Illinois. I also don't understand why we just don't get to have the UP. I want the UP a part of this state. It's basically Wisconsin.
Ah, I said that one time, and you said, the Upper Michigan should be part of Wisconsin. And you got on me for that. I agree.
Why? Why would I get on you for that?
I know, you said, you
must have been a clone.
You said Wisconsin, you want to take over every state. And I said, no, I just want to take over Upper Michigan.
Nah, that must have been a clone.
Upper Michigan, why isn't that part of Wisconsin?
I don't know.
Why is that part of Michigan? No, it's Wisconsin.
I don't like when, this was always bugged me, whether it's countries or states, I don't like when there's a part of a state, but they don't physically touch. Like, I don't like that. The reason I don't like the UP so much on a map is because it doesn't touch the other part of Michigan, the glove part.
Yeah.
They don't touch. It should all touch. It should all be touching.
I went across the border, I go golfing up there, went across the border, and we went to a bar up there, and it had all Detroit stuff. And it's like, man, you are so far removed and so far from Detroit. Why is this a Detroit Tiger bar in Escanaba? I mean, that should be more of a Packer country up there. We should own that part of the state.
Yeah. Why don't you do this? Why don't you send a letter to that bar
Yeah.
But instead of Escanaba MI, put Escanaba WI and see if the post office delivers it.
Well, the place we were at this casino watching, in the sports bar in there after we're done golfing, and we're going to go in there watch the Brewer game. And of course, because it's Michigan, no Fox Sports Wisconsin. And I'm like, we're just right across the border. You can't get Fox Sports Wisconsin there. Yeah, the Tigers on TV. Who cares?
Yeah, nobody cares. Yeah. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins. You guys can get in on this, 799-1250. We will do fantasy football in about a half hour. So if you've got those questions, start tweeting us at 105.7 FM The Fan. It's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.